We begin the second week of Advent, second week of preparation for the coming of the Lord. And today we are introduced to the figure of John the Baptist, who is a very prominent person in the Advent season, in the whole work of preparation, because he was chosen and sent to prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. I'd like to just offer two reflections today as we take another step in our Advent journey. One reflection is on what God is doing, and the other is on what we're doing. What God is doing, what we're doing, or what we should be doing anyway. What God is doing, well, he's preparing the way. God has something in mind. It was mentioned just briefly in this second reading. Paul says to the Philippians, I'm confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will continue to complete it. So God is doing a good work, and he's going to keep doing it. He's the one preparing the way. He's the one preparing us for him to come. And it's important that we know he's doing this, because otherwise we would have very little hope of accomplishing anything. But the way God works is surprising. And in Advent, we should be striving to open our eyes, our hearts, to this different way of God working. And this is brought out, I think, very beautifully in the beginning of today's gospel. I said this is the day when we're introduced to John the Baptist, and all the Gospels mention John the Baptist. But usually the other Gospels say, well, John came into the desert and started preaching. But Luke's Gospel gives the context of John's appearance. Luke mentions all the big figures of the political and religious world, starting with Caesar himself. I mean, that's as high as you get. That's A-list character. Caesar, then Pontius Pilate, then Herod and Philip and Licinius. And then he goes to the religious world, Annas and Caiaphas. This is a way of identifying the historical moment. Yes, you can say that each age of history is characterized by the people who are in charge at the time. But it's also a way of showing that God is not bound by these earthly powers, even religious powers. Here it is. Caesar's in charge. Pontius Pilate is in charge. Herod's in charge. Annas and Caiaphas are in charge. But God does not choose to send his word to any of them. If you want to make a modern equivalent, you could say, and who's the most powerful man in the world? I don't know. President of the United States, maybe, or anyway. So let's say when Joseph Biden is the president in his first year of his presidency, and when Rodrigo Duterte was in the fifth year or sixth year of his presidency, and Vladimir Putin was in the whatever how many years he's been president, prime minister, and name all the big deals in the United Nations and the EU and all these world leaders. And then in the religious world, for sure, Pope Francis is the top religious figure in the world. And we could narrow it down to big church figures here. Cardinal Tagle is whatever his position is in the Vatican, and Cardinal Advíncula is the Archbishop of Manila, and who's the mayor? Isco Moreno is mayor of Manila. And the word of God came to John. it's like a setup. All these big people are here, and they're all in their places, and the word of God came to this little fellow. Well, he is the son of a priest, but he's not in Jerusalem. He's not in Rome. He's not in Washington, D.C. He's not in Imperial Manila or Moscow or Tokyo. He's in the desert. The word of God comes to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. See, what we're being told here is that God, who certainly knows who's in charge of the world in the political and religious sense, doesn't have to do things the way political powers do things. He doesn't have to follow all that. They're important, they have their role, but God has something bigger in mind and more powerful and surprisingly powerful, because he does powerful things in such hidden ways. Advent, Christmas, is a time to recognize the extraordinary works of God breaking into the most humble circumstances. Here we have John in the desert. In a couple of weeks, we're going to have the baby Jesus in the manger. God himself in the lowest condition. So this is how God works. He sends John to proclaim a baptism of repentance. So the first point of reflection here is what God is doing. God is working on a different level than worldly powers work. He enters into history, but he is not subject to the forces that we think of as shaping history. He's shaping history in his own way. In some ways, he is deliberately humbling the powerful by doing something that is outside their hands. One of the ways to reflect on the pandemic is to see God humbling the world. How many big figures in the world have said, oh, now we've beaten the COVID-19, and then the next week there's a surge, or the big powers come along and say, we've got the vaccine, and then some new variant comes along, and then they have to realize that they're not in control. Nobody's in charge. Everybody is supposed to be humbled by this. I don't know if it's working, but certainly God wants to show us that there's something else going on than simply political and economic and social and structural power. Okay, that's what God is doing. He's preparing the way. He's coming. He's coming in a new way, on a new level. So we're not looking to worldly powers for what God is up to, because he can use them if he wants to, but he doesn't have to. Okay, the other thing to be aware of is what we're doing, or what we should be doing. And this is where John comes in. His message is to proclaim a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So the preparation that he has come to do is not to change the political order, social order, or the religious structures, but to change us, or to invite us to allow ourselves to be changed, to ask for the forgiveness of our sins. The images in the scriptures are of leveling mountains and filling in valleys. Yes, these images are talking about big works, removing obstacles and filling in the gaps. But these obstacles and gaps are in us. Our tendency is to look to others or look outside and blame everybody else. If the world is a mess, it's because so-and-so is a bad leader and such-and-such movement failed and we don't have enough money and all these things. But what if the real reason why the world's in a mess is because we're sinners? And the reason and the way to prepare the way for the Lord is to repent of our sin. That is actually the message of John. Prepare the way. Get rid of sin. Or repent and let God forgive your sin. So, Advent is a time for us to repent. One of the crucial elements of Advent is a good confession. One of the tragedies of the pandemic is that confession has been practically eliminated from the life of the church. I notice in the parishes, everybody's scrambling to get ready for the Simbangabi. Simbangabi schedules masses, get all the masses and all the chapels, and everyone's getting ready for their novena of dawn masses. Great. What about the scheduling of confessions? In before the pandemic, we would have Kumpisalang Bayan, and people at least would have an opportunity to go to confession. Nobody's talking about confession. It's not even allowed. So that's an indication that we're not getting it. We're not preparing the way if we're not dealing with the problem of sin. Now, as I said, our usual tendency when things go wrong is to blame other people or blame the circumstances. We don't tend to blame ourselves. I have an example that comes to mind from the news. I can't get this guy out of my head. Kibuloy, Pastor Apollo Kibuloy, who proclaims himself the appointed son of God. Now, I've mentioned him before. He has an ego about as big as the whole island of Mindanao. He thinks that he has this unique place in God's plan for establishing God's kingdom, when in fact he's really establishing his own kingdom, and he's got quite a powerful political movement going, and he is a king in his own territory. But anyway, the reason why he comes to mind is because he was in the news again last week. There are charges against him in the United States for sex trafficking. Did you see that? He's been accused of taking advantage of some of the young women in his organization, the Kingdom of whatever they call his church, and forcing them into sexual acts and basically sex slaves. That's a pretty serious charge. Now, I'm not saying he's guilty. I don't know. A man is innocent until proven guilty, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's true, because this man has a big high view of himself. He probably thinks he can do what he wants. Anyway, this charge has been raised against him. A number of women have accused, women who've been in his organization or under the sway of his cult, have made these charges. But because he's a very powerful figure, very hard to get him arrested or very hard to get him indicted. So, but anyway, the reason why I'm bringing him up is that what he said is that because the appointed Son of God is being persecuted, God has sent the new variant of COVID, the Omicron variant, to punish the world because of what people are doing to him. And he said, this is a public statement, he made a public statement, that if people don't stop attacking the appointed Son of God, meaning himself, Kibuloy, if they don't stop attacking him, God will send an even worse variant of the COVID-19. So he's threatening the world with a plague because he is being charged with serious crimes. Now, talk about mountains. This guy has a mountain or a valley. He's got huge gaps between himself and reality and the work of God. But I mention that because here's a man who is accused of wrongdoing. Now, like I say, I don't know. I'm not saying he's guilty. I have no idea. But he at least has an opportunity to humble himself, submit himself to an investigation, prove his innocence. But instead, he launches this huge attack on the whole world and says, the whole world is going to suffer if you make me suffer. That's an example of what human nature does when the challenge of repentance comes up. John comes along and says, prepare the way, repent of your sins, open yourself, ask for the forgiveness of your sins. And our reaction, our nature's reaction is, don't accuse me of wrongdoing. It's the fault of someone else. It's my parents' fault, it's my government's fault, it's my pastor's fault, it's my boss's fault, it's my husband's fault and my wife's fault. Somebody's fault has made this happen. If we keep doing that, we are not prepared. We're not making straight the winding roads. we are making them more winding. We're twisting ourselves up in an attempt to avoid repentance. We're making the rough ways even rougher. Now, the only way to prepare is not, you know, by all the external preparations that we focus on, but by this inner humbling of ourselves by repentance. Lord, I'm a sinner. I have done everything that people are accusing me of doing, but I'm a sinner, and I need your mercy. I open myself to the power of your forgiveness. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come to save me, not come to prove I'm right. Come to save me. I'm in need. So this is why the poor in spirit are the ones who have an Advent advantage, because the poor in spirit do not have a high view of themselves. They don't have such big mountains or such big valleys. They realize they're little, and they need God. So this is a time of year to humble ourselves before God, to prepare the way in our own hearts and lives so that we're ready for when He comes.